Associated Bodywork and Massage Professionals, ABMP, is proud to sponsor the interdisciplinary podcast from HealWell. Massage therapists and body workers who choose ABMP membership get much more than comprehensive liability insurance to protect from lawsuits, including our members-only Pocket Pathology and 5-Minute Muscles apps. Putting muscle-specific technique videos and helpful information at your fingertips, 5-Minute Muscles has been updated with more than 80 cadaver dissection videos from Dr. Joe Muscolino to provide an even more in-depth understanding. Join ABMP to see for yourself why our members expect more and get more from their association.
Welcome to season 11 of Interdisciplinary, where we're starting what will probably be a multi-season discussion about sustainability in the massage profession. This season, we're going to talk with a variety of massage therapists and other experts about their experiences in and around massage, but also around professionalization in other disciplines and all kinds of things that will help us get a better idea of what's going on out there and why is it going that way. I am morally obligated and professionally obligated to remind you that we have a couple of live oncology massage courses coming up this year. We've got one in Oak Park, Illinois, August 11th through 13th, and then Fairfax, Virginia, September 22nd through 24th. Just check out all those details at online.healwell.org. I am Cal Cates. I'm your one and only host today. Somebody left the barn door open and here I am. So as usual, we like to start with a pun, and I think you guys are going to hate this one, so I'm pretty excited about it. You know, I heard that the government is putting chips in everybody. I'm really hoping I get Doritos.
Oh,
gosh. If you enjoy the show and would like to participate in conversations like these in real time, you can join us at community.healwell.org. There's also puns and terrible jokes in there. The links are in the show notes. You can check out a two-week free trial in the community. This season is sponsored by the most wonderful and incredible people at ABMP. And without further ado, I'm so excited to introduce you to our guests who laughed at that pun. So I feel like, I think that bodes well, it's unclear. But we have with us today, Devonna Willis and Ashley Urquhart, and they're gonna tell you about their incredibleness and then we'll dive in. Welcome.
Hey everyone, just to go off the pun, as long as it's cheese Doritos, Cal.
That's true. I guess we could get in a whole, like, no cool ranch or, exactly. You know, yeah.
Well, hi, everyone. Devonna Willis here with 419 Education and Training. I am a NCBTMB approved CE provider as well as BOC ATC approved provider. So for athletic trainers as well. And I am also the brain behind the new Black Massage Therapist Conference that we will be talking about today. And I have my wonderful partner in crime, Ashley, here, and I'll have her introduce herself to you guys.
Yes, like Devonna was saying, she's very modest. She's done a lot in the community. as for myself, my name is Ashley Urquhart. I am the founder and CEO of MT Banquets. It is a banquet that's catered to massage therapists and other wellness professionals to show appreciation, to inspire, to motivate individuals in the industry. I'm also a massage educator through the NCTMB. I teach intraoral TMJ massage. I love it. Been doing it since 2020. Also, I serve on the board as the United States licensed massage therapist, honoree member, and is an association that redefines the future of massage therapists. Me and Devonna also, represent our state. I am in North Carolina. She's in Arizona. And, you know, I'm also, you know, helping Devana with the Black Massage Therapist Conference. She asked me last year if she could just have some help with, you know, running the conference, because when I did the MT banquets, it was a little tough doing it, you know, kind of by myself, pretty much.
Right.
So she just had confidence and knew where to go. So here I am helping her. I'm very grateful to be on this podcast talking with you. And then, yeah, I hope we can, you know, get more supporters. So I really do appreciate, you know, the industry responding to us, because, you know, yep. I was a little bit nervous when Devana said it's Black. And I was just like, oh, Lord. I wonder how people are going to respond to that, you know. But we got a really good, like, feedback from the industry. We're just trying to get our, you know, community to attend. So I'm really grateful to be here.
That's awesome. We're so excited that you were willing to spend some time with us, because we really want to be part of that support as well. And I know that HealWell is going to send a couple of our therapists to your conference. I know that, you know, you guys, Pittsburgh School of Massage has come on board with you, and ABMP is now a premier sponsor. So
yes,
that's awesome. I'm really interested in part of why our initial inspiration to invite you on was that I had heard from a couple of white colleagues that wrote to me and said, you know, I know you do stuff in the diversity, equity, belonging, like, space, and like, what's up with this Black Massage Therapist Conference? And, like, you know, they're like, so white people can't go? And, you know, we had this back and forth email exchange that was very civil, but sort of like really kind of reminded me of the space that, I don't know if it's accurate to say, most people are in, which is this sort of zero sum idea that, like, what do you mean I'm not allowed at this party? And it's like, the world is your party, white people, like, just reel in. And so, like, have you heard any of that? Have you had any outreach from people being like, you know, am I allowed to come? And how do you even entertain that? Or you just kind of say, nope, it's for Black therapists.
Yes. So yes, yes, and yes. So I have had some, not a lot though, but I have had some, and my response is similar to yours. Like, they've been many conferences in which that you guys have belonged to, and the showing of Black massage therapists has been very, very low. And I would say less than 1%, to be quite honest. And so this is a representation of the therapists who feel unseen, unheard, and just blatantly just feel like they're not recognized. Mm-hmm. And I've built a Black Massage Therapist Facebook group back in 2020 with the George Floyd. I know, Cal, we talked about that before. And because of the civil unrest and having been, you know, I'm in Arizona, and where I was working at the time is in Gilbert, I was known as the only Black massage therapist in the whole city or town, they want to call it, of Gilbert, Arizona. And so to be known to be that person, number one, number two, majority of my clientele was white, and to feel, it's hard to describe unless you're Black. So when you're going through this civil unrest, if you will, you start reverting back to your ancestors. And you're the Black person taking care of, right? So if anyone knows history of any type of Black history, slavery, a lot of times it was the Black woman taking care of the white household.
Everybody. Yeah.
Right. And so when you look at that, not like literally a Black woman breastfeeding a white child, that's how deep it runs. Right.
Yeah.
And so when you're going through that process in your brain and you're like, am I reliving what just happened a few years ago? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yes. And it was just an easy feeling. I was wrestling with myself, and not to say my clientele was great. They're like, Devonna, what can we do? You know, we support you. So we support Black businesses, other Black businesses they've supported that I know of. So not saying the people actually who I worked on, it's just the whole, just the look. And so as I built this group back in 2020, we have now over 950 Black therapists. I don't even want to say nationally, it's internationally. Mm-hmm. Africa, wow. Right? Right, Ashley? We have some people in Africa, Canada, the Caribbean.
Wow.
And to be also honest, Afro-Latinas.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right? So let's be clear with that, because they also feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
I bet.
So you wouldn't know. I get it all the time. Where was I? I was just back in New York visiting home. I'm from New York City. And because I wear my hair is curly, and I had a Hispanic guy was like, you look like a Dominican. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I get that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Right. So I do have the features, you know, because we were dropped off in different places
yes.
in the world. Right. Yes. And so I've gotten that many times, many times. So just to say that it's a space, it's a safe space, it's a face of belonging, it's a face of gathering, it's a space of networking, it's a space of love. We just had someone in a group just post about the racism she's feeling at this time in her workplace.
Mm-hmm.
This is real time. This is 2023. Right. And so these are honest things that people are going through right now. And that's why there's a Black conference, so they can feel a sense of love and appreciation and camaraderie and coming togetherness. Because it was a lot of times, a lot of people has been the only Black therapist, either in their workplace, at the school.
Yes.
As a student. Right. And so that's why I'm sorry I'm on my soapbox, but this is why.
Stay up there. Like, yeah. No, I mean, yeah. And I feel like a lot of our listeners are in a space to receive this information and like integrate it. But I think more broadly about the profession and how, you know, Black therapists are not proportionally represented as licensed practitioners, because people say, oh, you know, like white people like to say, well, you know, there aren't actually that many Black people like in America compared to white people. And I'm like, well, first of all, that's wrong. But also, like in the profession, it's a much smaller percentage. It doesn't match
right.
the proportions that are in our society. And that idea of that white people are the global minority. And so like in America, maybe there's more white people, but like, as far as like who's running the world, it's not white people. Or at least who's getting it done, I guess.
Right.
Like white people like to be the bosses of it, but the people who are actually making the world and doing the things are not the white people. And I feel like we really struggle with this idea of, well, you know, why, you know, what's going to happen in this space where there aren't any white people? And I'm like, I don't know, love, community, not the stuff that you're seeing other places on Facebook and in the world where there's kind of like this jockeying. And that I wonder if you feel like you can comment on the white people who are trying too hard and sort of like the harm that can happen. Cause you know, some of the people who've reached out to me have said, you know, well, but I'm not one of those, right? Like I'm not racist. I'm not whatever. Like I could go to that conference, or I'm married to a Black person, or my cousin is Black, or all the things that you hear that sort of quote qualify a white person to be in an all Black space. And maybe rather than like, I guess maybe what I'm asking is what are the things we do that are annoying? And what could we do to show up to and support this besides participating? Because that undermines the whole sort of
right.
idea.
I'm going to let Ashley answer majority of it. But what I want us to say is put the question back. Why do you feel like you need to attend it?
Right.
That's the question I would put back to them.
Yeah.
Why does it annoy you so much that you feel privileged to want to have to attend it? Why can't you just say, just have a great time.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
I hope
so. That's
awesome.
The question I would pose back to them. Why do you feel so innately, just because if you're married to a Black person, but why do you feel privileged that you need to attend it because of? And then I'll let Ashley, that would be my question posed back to them.
Yeah.
Like most of these conferences are nothing but, I would say, white people, right? So they have their conference, and I think it's catered to the older generation as well. I mean, you have 70% of white women in the industry already, and you have less than 9% of Black people in general. And so, I mean, we do need a space. We need Black excellence, you know? And then what also annoys me, I would say, like the question, they're in their bubble. You know, they don't want to learn about, I feel like they like our culture, but they don't like us. If you know
that's
what I'm saying. I've talked with some of my clients who they are kind of ignorant, and they do ask me questions, and I do give them, you know, some education. They were like, man, I didn't know you were going through that. And like, I was telling one of my clients, we have a group chat for our family, like, hey, you can't go down this street, or, you know, this is what's happening in the world, like politically. And someone said, you shouldn't have to go through that, but we do.
Yeah.
And so when someone posted recently that they were experienced racism, I mean, I've experienced racism quite often. I mean, I feel like it's just in the DNA, and it's never going to change. I feel like it's just cellular. Yeah. And you just never know, like, who is, like, race, like, who you come across could be racist. They might not show it. I call them, I used to call them, like behind the scenes, like racism. They will talk about you in the rooms, whatever, in front of your face. They're just, like, smiling. But, you know, when I was just graduating massage school and I was working with, I love your cat. I was working with a bunch of chiropractors. I was the only Black person there. And, you know, our lingo is a little bit different. So I kind of had to show them, like, hey, I don't talk like that, you know? And so we kind of made fun of each other. And I thought it was really awesome, you know, but some of their family members were actually racist. And, you know, I guess religion kind of tied into that as well. But I was staying with one of my coworkers. She said, you have to leave. I said, why? She said, my mom is racist and I can't have you over here. And I was just like, you just never know.
Wow. Yeah.
Like I was on another podcast talking about how, you know, I was encountered by KKK members and I was with my sister, you know, and you know, just driving, and it's like an 18 wheeler just, you know, blocking the highway. And they were just letting all the white people go. They were telling the Black people to stay. We had to drive in the ditch just to get around the 18 wheeler. They have pickup trucks of like guys in the flags, and they're taking this down. And I'm not sure if I can cuss on here, but they were calling us nigger bitches. Like, we killed you, and you know, and it's just like we deal with that on a regular, but we're not really expressing what we go through. And I feel like when Devonna had, you know, said, hey, I need a voice, and you know, I think someone was thinking about it, but she took the initiative and she's like, okay, we need to make this happen. And so 2023. I believe that it's going to be an amazing event. You may not hear about it until like the next year, but I just want people to know what we're doing. And I really feel like, you know, just spreading the word, being exposed, you know, exposure. I mean, nowadays is like wildfire. So I really, That's sorry, I'm on my tangent right now.
Oh my gosh, no, I'm just here to like facilitate if the conversation drags. So y'all are the ones who're supposed to be sharing.
But these are the things.
Yes.
But these are the things, Cal, right? So one of the things that annoy me, if you will, is when they say they don't know. You don't want to know. Mm-mm. You don't want to know. You know, when you know, as Ashley's talking about, some of her clients like, wow, I didn't know. You don't want to know.
If you wanted
you could
to.
Know. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want to know. You rather live in your bubble. You mm-hmm. absolutely rather live in the bubble. Like, I had a conversation with my white girlfriend. This was 2020 was a busy year. We went back, my family and I, my husband's family lives in Cleveland, Ohio. And his grandparents are still alive. So let's be clear. So I'm gonna tell you this. This is history. His grandparents are like, his grandfather will be 99 in September of this year. Wow. So I said, we need to have a real conversation with grandpa to know what he's been through.
Yeah.
He's in his 90s, right?
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. And because we didn't know he would be even here 3 years later, like,
yeah.
Praise God, he's still here to this day, right?
Yes.
And his grandmother is still here. They're 2 years apart,
wow.
right? So he's, you know, he's elderly. So obviously he has ailments. She has ailments. She has dementia. But I'm mentioning hers specifically because she still remembers. Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Stuff that happened a long time ago. She's on.
It was like it just happened the way she was telling the story. Right.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, I haven't mentioned this on any other podcast, but I feel like at this point it needs to be mentioned. So we're sitting there, I'm recording and we're talking to his grandfather. So they had the great migration from Alabama to Ohio in the 40s, if you will. His father, my grandfather's father was a, just lost it. Actually, after slavery, they became sharecroppers. So if you don't know, after slavery, once it was called abolished, they moved the slaves to being sharecroppers where you
once
get
it was rebranded.
Right. Sharecroppers, penny on the dollar, if you will. Right. Still working. His dad was a sharecropper. Do you understand how that's?
Wow.
His dad was a sharecropper. My grandfather assisted his dad when he was a young boy sharecropping.
Wow.
Do you feel how visceral this is? And I was like, I'm listening, tearing up. Like, it's here. And he could tell us those stories. And he could tell them picking cotton, especially in Alabama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then on grandma's side, her mom was raped by a white male. Mm-hmm. And because she was the darker, even though she's not, because, you know, we come on all shapes and sizes and colors. We have different hues in black. She's light skinned, but she wasn't light enough like her sister. So they got rid of her. Mm. And she had to live with an aunt and uncle that raised her. Do you understand? So these are in like the 20s. They were born in the early 20s. So understand how tangible this is. And that's why this conference means a lot. So for him, he couldn't even fathom, like, he knows about it now. He couldn't even fathom to see something that I'm putting, like, even though he's not my grandfather biologically, but he's still my grandfather.
Yeah.
But to see that this is happening, it brings him such joy because of the process that he's been through, right? Mm-hmm. And so to go back to the girlfriend I was speaking to, my white girlfriend, she was upset at the time. Remember, they were taking down some of the statues and so forth. Uh-huh. And she's like, I don't understand why, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, you need to pause.
Yeah.
And think of what these statues represent. You know me, you know my family, you love my family, you love my kid, which is a male child, black male child. And so I need you to pause and think. And then I described to her what I just kind of told you guys about my grandpa. And she's like, I get it. I'm sorry. I understand. But at first she was like, I don't understand. It's history. I said, no, it's the wrong type of history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Is yeah. what some of these statues represent, right? And so these are the conversations, but you have to be wanting to have them, open to it. It's out there, but if you're in your bubble, you won't hear about it, right? Or you don't want to know about it.
Want to hear about it, right?
Exactly.
Right. Well, and it does, it forces you to reorder your understanding of the world when you introduce the truth that has been kept from us for centuries. And I think most people aren't down for that. And certainly right. white people, I mean, what it does to our idea of where we fit in society, like we just rather not. And I feel like one of the things that we really try to share with people is that like systems don't uphold themselves, and that right. you have to notice the ways that you're allowing as a white person things to continue. And where can you disrupt that? And where can you just, I mean, say what's true. Like, I think it's funny that even between the two of you that Ash is like, do you want to call it the Black Massage Therapist Conference? I don't know. And, you know, I feel like it's like, you know, when we're doing our end of life stuff and we talk all the time about people who say passed, transitioned, moved on. It's like, no, they died. I mean, it depends on the setting and whatever, like how you describe this, but these are all the ways we've learned to not just say the thing that's true. And,
right.
you know, we only become comfortable with saying the words that have been changed for us by saying them.
Right.
And sometimes you get blowback and sometimes you don't, but it doesn't make them less true. And I feel like right. that's the thing we want to keep inviting people into the space of like, yeah, there is a problem in our profession that is mirrored in the larger world.
Right.
And I'm curious about, you know, one of the things we're talking with therapists about this season is sort of sustainability of massage as a career. And I wonder if either or both of you be willing to share a little bit about either or both your own experiences as massage professionals and how your careers have gone, where you've experienced challenges, but also sort of when you think about Black people coming through massage education now into this profession, sort of what are the things you wish you could save them from? What are the things that, like, as you went through school, you were like, man, I can see that this is, I mean, it's a challenging profession to succeed in, period. And I think if you add race, and I remember, Devana, when you and I first met, you were telling me about your website and how you manage, you know, how and when people, quote, discover that you're Black. And
right.
so like, what, say the things that you want people to know about what does the future look like for Black therapists coming out of school, and what have your careers looked like as it relates to race?
I'll start on this one, Ash. So I would say for me, the sustainability is getting more educators in this. First, let's start with having educators in the space, right? Mm-hmm. The lack of Black educators in this space is, if we're already talking about less than 9% in the industry, just imagine in the education space, right? And so to not have a Black educator or administration in the school, they're already started off like, oh wow, I am really like the only person here, right? Depending on where they're coming from in the country, right? So I was blessed coming from New York, going to the Swedish Institute. We all know New York is a melting pot. So I didn't feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that. I only really felt it when I moved to Arizona, to be quite honest.
Wow. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, right. It was, And I've lived in Ohio too, but like I said, like I felt that moving to Arizona, like, wow, this is crazy. We're 2% in this whole state.
I was going to say, you're still one of the seven people who live, black yeah. people who live in Arizona, right?
Crazy. I was like, I think it was like 1.2. I think we're now about 5 or 7. This is
oh,
great.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. The migration from the Midwesterners is tired of the cold is coming to Arizona, and then the Californians is coming to Arizona. So that's what's okay. happened in the last 10 years or so. But so going back to the school, having educators, number one, having administrators, having those positions of people of color or Black people in those spaces will be great. Sustainability. Since 2020, we're going back to like the 60s of Black pride, Black exodus. Say it loud and I'm Black and I'm proud. You know, the James Brown song. People would sing it, but they didn't know. Like that's where it come from. To feel that. So now people are more apt to put their faces on their websites, having more representation, showing them working on a Black body. Why? Because our community needs to see it, because it's such a distance, like it's untouchable to get a massage. Why? Because it's seen like, oh, you have to have this type of money, that type of money. So I would have to say this generation is slowly trying to introduce by showing, because it's very far and few between of Black stock photos of a Black person giving a massage to another Black person.
Oh, definitely.
Please be, you know what I'm saying? Yes. I'm one person, Jeanette, I know she started taking pictures because she's also a photographer, to have something out there. Let her know, a Black person working on a white person, whatever, a white person working on a Black person, right? The stock images, let's be clear what it looks like in the industry. White women.
Yes.
White women. So people are now taking it amongst themselves, taking more pictures and videos. So they're starting to do that. But it's a creep. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's very slow. But I want to say something also, she was a client turned friend because we've worked with each other for so long. She thought, because talking about educators, she thought there was more Black therapists in the industry, because when she sees my class pictures, she sees it's like a half and half, or, uh-huh. three or four Black students in the class. And she's like, well, Devon, I thought it was more because in your pictures and you got, I was like, because they see a Black instructor. And that's just like,
I'm going there.
Right.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? That's what it is. Yes. And it is a language, like to Ashley's point, is a language when we see each other, it's like, hey, mm-hmm. you know, it's joy there because you don't see it often. So that's my take on it. I'll let Ashley talk from her perspective.
I was just listening to all your stuff. I was like, oh man, I forgot what I was going to say. But anyway, me coming out of school, it was just like I was a baby bird just thrown out of the nest, and I would just kind of splat on it. I was like, I didn't have a mentor. I had to learn myself. I went through crazy jobs, and like I said, I was in Dallas, Texas when I went to of course it's going to be a majority of, you know, white people. And, you know, I feel like they were just kind of sticking to themselves, like the clique or whatever. And I really wanted to learn, but I just felt like there was just, you know, having their own ideas and they were really promoting themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm just all alone and just working like crazy jobs, the struggle, going into a franchise, you know, burning myself out. But I think I had to go through that struggle to get feedback from, you know, the workers, you know. And then when I moved to North Carolina, yeah, there was a lot more Black people. I feel like it was more opportunity there for me. But I was also listening to the struggling Black people in like the franchise world. And so it just made me feel like I had to be the one to step out. You know, I know there's a problem and something needs to be solved. Most people are just going to keep doing what they do. They're going to be in the same routine. And I feel like, you know, we have to be the voice of, you know, this, you know, and people are very scared. They're very fearful, don't know how to, you know, step up and say, you know, I'm going to do something. I'm going to take action. And, you know, I've been in the industry for almost 14 years. And then it's just, I just now owned my own, I got my own massage business and I'm running it. And I'm the only Black, massage therapist in my county. Oh, and wow. Yes. And so I think I was like the new hotspot, like, oh man, she's Black. So all the Black people, all the Latinos, you know, it's just a whole diversity just coming over here. And, you know, we made a Voters' Choice Award.
Nice.
Less than a year ago. So it's just like, I know my value. And I feel like the people in the franchise industry, especially the Black ones who feel like they're modern day slaves, I feel like they need to step out and, you know, make it their own. And so I think that's the reason why we were having, you know, some of these classes at the conference, because a lot of us are very fearful, like, oh, is the color of my skin? Oh, I'm not good enough. Well, you know, they start to think these things. I'm like, you have value. And we're offering these business classes, branding classes, ethics classes, because, you know, behind the scenes is a little bit different for everyone. You know,
right.
I've worked on a skinhead before. It's just like, you know, like, it's just weird. Like, people didn't want to shake my hand. Like, how do I react? You know, and yeah. I think that was one thing I wanted. Someone to go to my school and tell me, hey, there's a conference for you.
Yeah.
You know, and we have that. So Devonna's like, listen, all these schools like, hey, we need to call, blah, 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 blah. And I wanted that when I was in school, but I didn't have that. So it's taken all these years for someone to say, well, I'm gonna help you.
Right.
And
on top of that, Kyle, too, talking about the schools, the resistance that we're getting from some of the schools is mind blowing, especially being in a city, in a state. I would think some of those schools would be a little bit more open. Some schools are, some not, and it's sad because it's like, this is where they're going to start. So if you're resisting about the conference,
right,
Lord help us when a Black potential therapist walks into the school to want to become a massage therapist. And so that's disheartening for me, is the struggle of really getting through so many schools. Like, I'm really happy about the Pittsburgh school. Tim was like, what do you need? Who do I need to connect you with? Like, he was like on it, awesome. Right? And he's still, you know, he's like, what can I do? You know, and like, they literally, oh my goodness, they literally built a class just to support the conference. So the proceeds from the class will go, and it's an ethics class. So everybody needs ethics, right? So the proceeds will go towards the conference. That's great. Great, right?
Yeah.
And so, I know we talked a lot, but.
No, I mean, this is, you know, I feel like there's so, I mean, gosh, this could be a many hours episode, because I feel like there's so many things that you pointed to, like this idea of like, you have to see it to be it, and that, you know, Black kids are not seeing their parents get massaged. If you go to massage school, chances are decent you're not going to have a Black instructor, or maybe you'll have one. Like, I remember talking with a school owner in one of the southern states. Gosh, it was probably a couple of years ago. I was doing some diversity stuff, and I said, so like, talk to me about your like instructor population. And he's like, oh, well, we have a Black instructor who's worked for us for like 6 years, so I don't really think we have a problem. And I was like, he's like, well, she's never complained. And I'm like, oh, hang on. let's have a little chat about what that means, because it doesn't mean that you have a culture of belonging at your school. It means that person has learned to play the game, as is real common in American culture. And maybe that person is happy, but don't delude yourself into thinking that this one person of color is like fulfilled and feels like they belong because they haven't quit or complained. And, but I wonder about the, certainly in massage schools, like we have this issue of like not enough instructors, that certainly relates back to not enough Black people graduating from massage school and becoming therapists to become instructors. But massage still lives, I think, in this really luxury space. And there's obviously well-documented continuing struggles and disparities in class and socioeconomic status, and that massage is out of reach for so many people. And that I wonder if you, this might be the whitest question I ask all day. So I'm curious if you see things like Trisha Hersey and like the Knapp Ministry kind of saying like, take your rest. You, this is how we will become strong. And that like, you know, I just recently occurred to me that like white people aren't invited to that party, because what she's talking about is like multi-generational exhaustion from overwork and exploitation. And that she's really inviting specifically people of color to stop participating in grind culture and to really rest and literally nap. And I wonder if that will change the next generation in a way that people don't feel embarrassed to get massage, and that people of color are saying, wait a minute, like, yeah, like my body and the body of my ancestors have worked so hard that like this massage is like my birthright, and that it becomes something where Black kids coming up are saying, this is how I can support my own community by supporting restfulness and by supporting this idea that like, yeah, you deserve an hour a week or however much of this kind of relaxation you can get. Do you feel any sense of like hopefulness around that? Or do you feel like so many initiatives, like it's great for this year and then people get distracted and just go back to the grind, because that's what we do?
No, that's a great question. I can only pray, right? So Ashley and I both are parents, and a lot of people in the group are parents. We could just only hope and pray that what they see us doing, they're going to implement it into their everyday life, right? So for instance, my son, he's into football, so he plays flag, right? So the other week, his hamstring and calves was tight. Ma, can you rope me out? Right?
Yeah.
That's how they act. Mom, rope me out real quick. My son voice is changing and getting all of this craziness. I'm like, I can't stand it, right? But anyway, going back to that. But to know, because he's tight, he needs me to rub him out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And even going further back, when he was younger, probably like 6 or 7, if he had a stomach problem, he would get my peppermint oil and then say, Mom, can you rub my belly? Right? And so introducing the holistic side of things into, I can only pray that this will continue, because this is all he knows, right? This is what he knows. He knows mom being in this industry, being in sports medicine, like that's what he knows. So my prayer, that's a good, and maybe that's a point that part of my presentation speech, I may say something at the conference to that, right? Because if our generation is doing it, our kids have to take on it, not necessarily be the therapist, but at least have that part of their health and wellness, because it's hard to implement it. And I'll be honest, it's hard to implement it in my mom's generation.
Yeah.
The baby boomers, if they haven't gotten it,
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Talk about having to reorder your world. I mean,
what are we talking about? Somebody touching me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Right? That's the conversation. Yeah. So my mom is more progressive because she got a progressive thinking daughter.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
You're managing up. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, why didn't you do this? Or you need to do this. Or, like, I'm on top of her. Right.
Yeah.
But she's at this point is coasting. She has her monthly lymphatic massage.
Nice.
And everyone looks at her like, wow, she don't look like she's in her 70s.
Yeah.
Right? So that she's doing the things, the exercises things. So we can just pray that our kids and their kids will take this on from now. So Ashley, what do you have on that?
Yeah, so I'm the black sheep of the family. I always say that because I am a healer, and I didn't know it until my mom kind of discovered it. And I was the only massage therapist in my family, and people are like, massage? You gonna do massage? Isn't that for white people? Like, you know, I don't think you gonna get any money from that. And I just thought it was a hobby. But I just noticed when I start learning about, you know, like the holistic side of it, and, you know, black people struggle, you know, are top in cancer, a bunch of stress, diabetes, boom, boom, boom. And that was like my family. They were in like every single category. So when I started to kind of learn about like essential oils, touch, people were looking at me like, oh, you're strange. Yo, you're a hippie. Like, my sister still calls me a hippie. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not a hippie. Like, these are the natural things that God has given you. So there's a powerful story. I don't think I've ever shared this with anyone, but I remember my great aunt, she was in the hospital and they couldn't put a pacemaker in her heart because her heart was too weak. So my grandma, I lived with my grandma when I was in the transition of, you know, different states, you know, and she knew I was a healer. So she took me to the hospital and she said, work on her, right? And so I started rubbing her feet, but you know, you start to feel like all these energies and the problem area. I really had to kind of focus, you know, just using the touch, speaking to God, you know, doing the holistic thing. All of a sudden she's out of the hospital within 2 days, and they said, we didn't know what went in the world, like, you know, like they couldn't figure out why her heart was the way it was, and it was very healthy. And I feel like my family started to know, like, hey, touch is very important. And a lot of my family is very closed in. They don't want to express themselves, you know, emotion. I don't know, like their emotions are just so tight within. But once you start to give them a hug and or just massage their hand. Like, I remember being at a family reunion. They were like, oh, Ashley, can you massage me? And so they start to get, you know, just a little bit of touch, and they feel really good after just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hey, you need to get like a full body massage like mm-hmm. once a month, you know? And people, I think like the black community is so stressed because the lack of touch. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Lack of education about it, right? Lack of education yep. about touch and what it mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
We're not, it's a couple of things, right? We're talking about socioeconomics. We weren't taught about our finances growing up.
Uh-huh.
That's not part of our, that's not part of what our households, we're just trying to survive. You understand?
Yeah.
We're still 8%, we're 8 times. What's the new statistics? Black families are 8 times lower than a white family's household income wise. We're just trying to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so massage is like, what you want me to do? What with my money? I'm trying mm-hmm. to.
Right. Is a luxury. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so.
So where do you guys fall? Because I feel like, you know, deeply informed by privilege, when you ask white massage therapists about one of the ways we're going to increase accessibility is to have insurance reimbursement, they cross their arms and they say, that's, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, you know, whatever. But what do you all think about, you know, if massage therapy becomes a thing that you don't have to have an injury for, you don't have to, like, that your insurance will reimburse you for a monthly massage, or, you know, just as sort of like healthcare. And certainly if you do have an injury, if you're recovering from a surgery, like there are specific indications, but where do you two, I don't expect you to speak for black therapists, but like, where do you fall in terms of, yes, this will be helpful, or no, this won't be helpful?
I'll talk from two different perspectives, from the perspective of the community in which, you know, lower income and so forth. It would definitely be helpful to have that service, right? So like, for instance, one of the people who go to Pilates with me, her insurance pays for it. Right?
Wow.
So yes, that would be beneficial if insurance can pay for it. On the flip side, as a owner, they need to pay me what I'm worth, right?
Yes, right.
That part.
Mm-hmm.
That part. And that's where it becomes tricky.
Yeah.
Because if I'm charging $100 and insurance want to pay me $50,
right,
where's that extra $50 coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have to, that's the conversation that needs to have. Absolutely. If the insurance is going to pay for it, yes, by no means they should do it. But as a practitioner, if the insurance is only paying me pennies on how much it actually costs for me to do this,
yeah,
that's the problem. So that's where we need to get clear. But what I do tell Black people, or you know, people in my community, if their jobs, if their employer have, if they have an FSA or mm-hmm. health savings, I tell them to apply for it and use that money so you can use it, because it's already pre-tax dollars, it's already been pulled out.
Yep.
Use that money for a massage, like Ashley said, at least once a month. So yeah. if that's the other route, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with Devana.
Yeah, it's complicated. Yep, exactly.
Yep.
Another system we got to blow up. So October 14th, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes.
If people want to learn more, we'll put the link to the conference in the show notes. If you are out there listening, if you have a practice and you've got therapists working for you and you have Black therapists working for you, maybe you pay for them to go to this conference. Maybe you do what Devana said. If you're a CE provider, maybe you host a class and you donate whatever income you generate from that class to the success of this event. I think the more successful this event is, the more successful we all are. And are there other specific things you feel like we can invite people to do to be supportive?
One thing that just came, we do need tables, massage tables. So if you're in the North Carolina area, Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, drive within driving distance, if you want to donate the table, a table or two, to the conference, obviously we'll give them back. Cool. But that would be very helpful, I would think. And you know, if you want to support, if you are a Black person and a owner of, you know, a Black business, we're looking for vendors. We would like to support Black businesses. So that's also another aspect of support. And if you want to just donate out your heart, we do have a donation link on the website where you could just donate. It doesn't have to be exact dollar amount. You can donate $25, $10, whatever, just to say that you're supporting the cause and you understand the vision and what we're trying to accomplish here. We definitely would appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for spending some time with us and for doing what you're doing. Let us know what else we can do, but we'll be out there lifting up your voices and hoping that you have so many people that the building is splitting at the seams in October.
Yay.
So yeah.
Thanks, Cal.
Is there anything else you guys feel like we didn't get to that you want to share with folks?
Nope. I thought this was great.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
I have some CE classes coming up. Sorry. I do have a lot of CE classes. So I am a CE provider. So I teach lymphatic drainage, massage with facial rejuvenation, sports massage, a medical posture class. So if you know you have any clients that have ailments, my background is sports medicine. I love this class. We actually take a deep dive in different ailments, injuries, imbalances. I have a stretch class, business class. So just check out my website, 419education.com. I do business strategies and templates. So
Cool. We'll put all those links in the notes.
So I have a class coming up in December with AMTA. It'll be in the Southeast region of North Carolina. You can subscribe to my website at my first and last name, which is AshleyUrquhart.com, and we'll just leave you the links for that. Please subscribe to MT Banquets. That's coming up next year, so we can show you appreciation and give out some awards.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Will do. And the show notes will be a treasure trove of resources, my friends. So make sure you get in there and click the links and go to the classes and spread the word. Thanks, you two.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Season 11 of Interdisciplinary. New episodes are available every Saturday on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can send us an email. Let us know what you think at podcast@healwell.org. We want to hear from you with your thoughts, your show ideas, pictures of your animals, whatever you'd like to send us. You can also support the show by leaving us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. Your review with your words really helps us to get in front of more people and keep creating content for you. And you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/interdisciplinary. And when you support us on Patreon, you become a super secret squirrel and you get access to episodes of Interdisciplinary early and ad-free, along with super secret bonus material. That's patreon.com/interdisciplinary. If you want to learn with us in person, you can, or online, you can check out all of our classes at online.healwell.org. We have coming up oncology massage in Oak Park, Illinois, just outside Chicago, in August, in Fairfax, Virginia, in September, and we have our hospital massage therapy stewardship program, hospital-based massage, in Washington, D.C., in October. So check it out at online.healwell.org. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Interdisciplinary is produced by HealWell. Our theme music is by Harry Pickens. New episodes are available weekly through your favorite podcast outlet. And you can send us an email at podcast@healwell.org. That's podcast@healwell.org. Thanks for listening.